In all reality, when I look in the mirror, I don't see what everybody else sees. I don't see losing 250 some pounds. I don't see the change in me physically. And that's super difficult. It's really difficult to look in the mirror and still be trapped in that space that I was in a few years ago, even though I've come all of this way. Every day when I step on my hot Pilates mat, I could get teary-eyed when I say it, because there are so many people out there who aren't able to move physically, and not because they don't want to, but because they can't. And I would never, ever want to be back in that position, whether it was something I was doing to myself or, God forbid, getting sick or hurting yourself. But I've made the promise to myself, if there's one thing that I can do for the rest of my life, it will be to...
It still hits. I don't miss it. It's go, go. Go, like a go-go flow, and I'm almost done. And I told your soul, when I throw these flows like a stroke chimbo, and I ain't too close, it's your smoke goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that, and a little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is not that bad, but I still ask the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him, I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps, and I can do both, even do this, word.
This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilks Consulting, a Ramsey preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilks Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilks Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to wilcopa.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's wilcopa.com, wilcopa.com. Wilks Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn. What's up, podcast? It's Bill Corcoran Jr., host of the On The Stacks podcast, brought to you by Sweat Tent. Lindsay Timmick, welcome back to the On The Stacks podcast.
Thank you.
This is great. We don't have a lot of returning guests.
Well, I'm honored.
Yeah, so it's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
It's a little darker in here now.
It is.
It's a little
different. I like the vibe.
Do you like this?
I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I suggested hoodies, but it's getting a little warmer out.
Hey, you know, you can always do a hoodie in summer.
I know. Normally I'm always wearing, that's all I ever wear is a hoodie on this show. I mean, I started wearing t-shirts recently, but my look for like the last like couple years has just been hoodie.
Yeah.
I think I even wore them in the summer, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. I love like a real thin, lightweight hoodie in the summer and spring. Yeah.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Especially at nighttime. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, love it.
The fall.
Yeah.
Fall hoodie, jeans.
I'm a fall baby, that's for sure.
Can't beat it.
Yeah. Born right? in October. I was probably born in a hoodie, to be honest with you.
born in a hoodie. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was too, because it's like, doesn't matter what the weather is, like, I'm wearing a hoodie all the time. Ask my wife. I'm in a hoodie all the time at home.
Comfy is the way to go.
It is.
Most comfortable that way. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Biz cash is out.
That's right.
Comfy's in. Comfy's well, in.
For us, we can be that way.
Right. That's yeah. Right. Yeah. It feels good to just to, you know, just be whoever you want to be when you want to be.
Hey, you know, I stand for all that.
Yeah.
I'm always for somebody being, you know, themselves and living to what they believe and, you know, making themselves feel good and everybody else around them.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
It has been.
You know, your last episode, 141, that was a while back.
That was, yeah, last January.
Yeah.
Over a year ago.
Yeah, that's right. You were the first episode in the new year of 2023.
I was, yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
And it was great. It was the best experience ever.
Yeah.
Even the afterwards, you know, seeing everybody reach out and just listen to the story of, you know, where I've come from and what I do and why I do things the way I do. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to be back to do it again.
Yeah. And so now you're post a surgery.
Yes.
Right. And there's a lot that comes with that.
Absolutely.
Right. So we're take me back a little bit. So, you know, after from, you know, when you were on last until now, like what has changed with you?
So for people who are just kind of like listening into this, you know, our last podcast was about, me being a small business owner, but also battling the mental health side of things as well as an eating disorder. And with all of that comes, you know, the mental health side of things. And we talked a lot about, you know, my weight loss journey and how I got to where I was. But, you know, this part in this time around, I think we should talk about the side of massive weight loss surgery post all of that.
Yeah, like, you know, what happens after that? There's a whole nother side, which, I mean, not that I didn't realize, but I guess I didn't realize, right? And I forget when it was, a few months back when you and I, like, just, you know, we were chatting, whatever, and you were just telling me a little bit about some of the things that you're now going through, these procedures, and I was like, holy shit, like, I didn't realize that this was, like, a whole nother thing and that there was multiple phases to this.
Sure.
And that you're dealing with what you're dealing with this far beyond like the last time that you and I sat down here.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when a lot of people think of massive weight loss surgery, and there's two sides to the playing field. You know, there are people who do it naturally with dieting and exercising, but then there's people who can't do that and they go into the gastric bypass surgeries and the weight loss surgeries. But in reality, no matter if you're taking route A or route B, with massive weight loss, we all have the same issues. And like you said, you know, yeah, you think that there are some, you know, things that you have to work through afterwards, but not as serious as they actually are. And somebody who's been through the process, I don't think I even realized what I would be dealing with post.
So you kind of didn't know, like, even before going into doing some of this, you almost like didn't even realize like some of the, I don't want to say repercussions, but like some of the other things that you would then have to go through down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I had no idea. And being out of, you know, surgery and being into the next phase of my weight loss journey, it has opened my eyes to realize why it is such a hard journey to continue on. I see why a lot of people start to progress and go backwards, you know, because the mental side of it, it's not only just working out, but there's a lot of other things that come into play.
Like what?
So, for example, for myself, I've always had back problems, but from losing as much weight as I did, as quickly as I did, there was a lot of excess. And when I say that, excess skin, fatty tissue, things that can't naturally go back to themselves, which in return was causing serious health issues for me. I would say about a year ago, I was having a very difficult time just standing all day to work at my salon because my back would hurt so bad.
Really?
Yeah, and I was getting premature curvature of the spine. My shoulders were coming forward. I was getting, you know, a nodule at the top of the spine from having all of that excess pull me forward. So in January, I ended up going down to St. Luke's to see Dr. Jacobs, who is absolutely phenomenal. And I started with the first part of my post-weight loss surgery, which would have been, in reality, fat removal, a breast reduction, as well as removing fatty tissue and skin that was no longer able to go anywhere on its own. We had to physically remove it. So that way I can start working on rebuilding muscles and bones and joints that have been compromised over the years for me, you know, putting weight on so quickly and then of course losing it on top of it.
Yeah.
So that's just one little part.
Yeah.
One little part of it.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you were telling me a little bit before we came on, and I was just kind of shocked by like how many other things like you've already gone through and that you've been through like since then.
Yeah.
And you know, just by looking at you, right? Like no one realizes this. Like I didn't realize it.
Right.
Right. Like not that I thought it was over, right? But like after you were on that first, that, you know, the episode that you were on, after I'm just like, okay.
There you know it is.
Now it's like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and it's like, then, you know, obviously, you know, we talked a little while back and you kind of like, were like, oh, hey, I'm going in for this. You're like, I'm going in for this surgery coming up. We were talking about that a little bit. And I was just like, wow, I didn't know you had to have there's another part to this.
Yeah.
And it's just like an ongoing thing. And there's a lot, like you said, like mentally.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's one of those things too. And, you know, weight loss aside, just anything in general, like when you look at somebody every day, like you don't realize like the things that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously for you, after you lost all that weight, like someone just looks at you and you're like, oh, well, she's good.
Yep.
She lost the weight. Yeah. But there's always this now, but like, how does she feel? How does she think? Like what has this done to her mentally? Like, how do you feel now, by the way?
So I feel phenomenal, of course, you know, physically I'm doing the most that I've ever done. I'm in the best physical shape that I've possibly ever been in my life. And, you know, from the last time we spoke, I was an athlete growing up. I cheered, I danced, I was active, you know. But physically, you know, feeling good is one thing, but let's talk, how do I feel mentally? I'm very grateful and I'm very blessed for the life that I have. I have a very successful business. I have a great family and group of friends around me as a support system. But mental health is huge to me. And I said this to you last time that we spoke. But a lot of people don't realize how much of the mental health side and the mental aspect of it actually plays a part.
It's probably bigger.
It's 5 times the size, you know?
Yeah.
And people say to me all the time, Lindsay, like, you're a psycho. You're up at 4:15 in the morning and you're in a hot Pilates studio before 6 a.m. every single day. Well, yeah, you're right. I am. And of course, I'm there. I'm working out. But people look at me sideways when I say, if I don't function properly. My mental isn't where it should be. I don't process things the right way. I don't react and respond to things the proper way either. And I think the release of the everyday stressors and the endorphins and everything that comes along with it plays a huge part in the working out side of things. But one thing about massive weight loss surgery that has been the journey, the most difficult part for me right now is working through the body dysmorphia. And I can see it because when a lot of my friends and family say, Lindsay, you look phenomenal. You look fantastic.
Right. Like I just said before, like just by looking at you, it's like, I think to myself, and I'm sure a lot of people, oh, she looks good.
Yeah.
And she's good, right? Yeah. Like, oh, she looks fine.
Mm-hmm. And my response always is, thank you. You know, I try, you know,
yeah.
Because in all reality, when I look in the mirror, I don't see what everybody else sees. I don't see losing 250 some pounds. I don't see the change in me physically. And that's super difficult. It's really difficult to look in the mirror and still be trapped in that space that I was in a few years ago, even though I've come all of this way.
So you feel like you're still kind of trapped in that mindset.
Bill, I still have my clothes from when I was that heavy because I can't fathom that I'm not that big anymore.
Hmm.
Like when I go shopping for clothes, I automatically still go to large and extra large and the plus sizes of things.
Just kind of by default.
Yeah. And then I go into the dressing room and I try them on and it's just this process of frustration because, oh my God, now everything's big on me. Okay, now what? And to some people that are listening, you probably are like, well, that should be a good thing that things are big on you. It is, but for how many years everything was so small on me, right? So I guess we can say it's very difficult to try to really process that I went from basically not fitting into anything to still not fitting into anything, you know? And it's crazy because just from last year when I was here with you, none of my clothes fit. And not that I've tried to lose more weight.
Like the clothes that you wore when you were here.
Don't fit now. They're too big. Yeah. And it's frustrating, but I still go to put them on. Even though I know they don't fit, I know they're too big, my mind is still telling me that I'm that big. And that's where the therapy side of things comes in. Mm. You know, you have to, and I said this the last time, with an eating disorder, with mental health issues, no matter what it is, you have to get to the root of the problem before you start fixing anything else. And okay, yeah, you know, 2.5 years into this whole journey that I've taken, I've been able to get my binge eating disorder under control where there aren't many outbursts. Sometimes I have really bad days and the only thing that makes me feel better is to eat. But I can also put a difference between, okay, this is comforting and this is now binge eating, right? So I guess You always have to understand what's going on beneath the surface before trying to just fix it, right? Like, I couldn't have lost all of this weight and maintained where I'm at right now 3 years later if I didn't realize that there was a binge eating disorder there, right? Because mm-hmm. I would still be working out every single day, but then what, I would go home and still have the characteristics of binge eating. Right? You can't do that.
Right.
You have to fix the issue. Why is the binging happening? Where is this stemming from? And then everything else falls into place.
And you figured that out.
Yeah. And at some point you kind of have to, you know, and I said this to you the last time I was here, I've lost weight multiple times. I've lost 80 pounds. I've lost 50 pounds. I mean, of course, this time I've lost a lot more, but those first two times that I did it, no wonder why I put it on twice as much, three times as much, because I didn't realize that there was an actual issue going on.
The underlying.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh yeah, Lindsay just loves to eat food, you know, she just puts weight on for no reason. No, I was masking a serious mental health issue, which was depression and anxiety, and I was using food to kind of mask all of that. And it's the same with alcohol or with drugs. We said this, you know, the last time I was here, you doesn't matter what the addiction is addiction. And unless you figure it out and you realize why you are clinging to these things, you're never going to get healthy. You're never going to be able to move forward. And I mean, honestly, I'm not cured. I'll never be cured from a binge eating disorder. That is something I will struggle with for the rest of my life. As well as my mental health, as well as, you know, maintaining this healthy lifestyle and this healthy relationship with the gym and with eating. You know, there's a lot more mental to it than anything else.
Yeah.
And I also see, like I just said, why people revert backwards, because that mental shit is really hard. Who wants to go and sit somewhere and have somebody tell them what you're doing wrong, let alone sit there and be like, no, I fucked up. Like, I was wrong. I did this to myself. Nobody wants to do that. I mm-hmm. didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I still don't want to. But in reality, that's what's making things different. It's the hard times that are making things easier in the long run.
Yeah. So like this addiction, right? Mm-hmm. It's obviously a very commonly, I'll say, overlooked addiction, or people don't even look at it as an addiction, number one.
No, when my therapist told me I had an addiction,
you're like,
I was like,
who the hell are you? Fuck? You're fired.
Bill, when we did our last podcast.
Where'd you get your degree from?
When it came up like addiction, I'm like, addiction? Because when you think about it, you think of drugs, right? You think of alcohol. Yeah. You don't think of food.
Right.
But in reality, the binge eating disorder is 5 times worse than drugs and alcohol ever will be. Mm. And the reason being is because you can cut out drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, everything, and never have to look at it or see it again. Well, with food, guess what?
You still got to do it every day.
Yeah. We have to learn how to maintain a lifestyle because we have to eat.
Yeah. You have to find a healthy relationship with it, which is probably very difficult. Like it's so difficult. You know, kind of like, just like you said, it's like, it's not like you can just find a healthy relationship with heroin.
No,
it just doesn't work.
Absolutely not.
You know, it's got to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And but food, you got to still eat it.
You have to.
At what point, like, did you say yourself, because, you know, I've had a lot of people on the show, as I'm sure you've probably seen some of them, people that have struggled with other addictions, mm-hmm. whatever it is, doesn't matter. But every one of them, and they all have said the same thing. Like, people that have gotten sober,
yes,
have all said, like, it wasn't until I decided mm-hmm. that I needed the help, mm-hmm. once I finally admitted that
right.
to myself and wanted to get the help.
Right.
It wasn't until then that any of these other individuals really fully came clean or got fully sober and are now doing great things.
Because right? it comes back to the mental side of it.
Right.
As soon as that acceptance of the mental side of it is there, it is easier for you to be able to walk forward.
How long did it take you to, I guess, either realize and accept that? And was there like a turning point for you there?
The turning point was when my doctor years ago, it was probably 3 years ago, when he looked at me at 20 some years old and said, you need gastric bypass surgery. I literally couldn't walk up a flight of steps. And guess what? At that moment in time, I couldn't look to my mom or my sister or my friends and be like, you guys made me do this. Because isn't that always easier to turn and point your finger at everybody else?
Blame somebody else.
Fuck that. It was my fault. I did that to myself. And the moment that I was able to look at myself, as hard as it was, to say, you're wrong, there's an issue here, was the moment my entire life changed. And going forward, no matter what it is, whether it's my journey or something in business or personally, it is so much easier for me to just accept it and admit it, whether I'm wrong or right, and continue to move forward.
Yeah, like what kind of like anxiety, or I'll say just like the weight of like sort of like up until that point that you could finally like fully like say like, hey, this is my problem and I'm owning it, right? Mm-hmm. But before that, like, what did that feel like, that weight that you were carrying? Now, I don't mean physical.
No.
I mean mental.
Awful. Awful. And you wonder why people become so irritable and nasty and not them normal. Like, they're just not themselves. And I was an asshole. Like, I was an asshole to everybody around me, my family, my friends. And it's because I hated myself. I knew what I was doing. I knew the road I was going down was not right. But when you can actually admit that you're doing something wrong and accept it, that's when things start to change.
And that's one of the hardest parts.
It was so hard, Bill. It's not easy. I mean, like I just said, you know, it's not easy to have anybody tell you that you're wrong. But to look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you're wrong, that's even harder.
Especially like when you're disgusted with yourself, right? Because I would imagine that you were probably disgusted.
Oh, fucking disgusted, Bill.
Yeah.
I was disgusted still. Like, I look back at pictures and I'm like,
how?
Yeah. How could you do that to yourself? And it's probably because I've matured a lot. You know, I've been through the ringer in the last few years. And of course, my business has taught me a lot too, right? But when you're disrespecting yourself, how does anybody else respect you around? Like, how? Like, I can't expect you to look at me with respect if I'm literally doing everything to self-sabotage. it's not normal. You can't do that. And I'll be honest with you. I can see the difference in how people treat me. And I'm sure you hear this a lot. Well, when I was fat, nobody liked me. Everybody was mean to me. Well, no, it's not necessarily it. People are just watching you disrespect the shit out of yourself. So what the hell makes them think that they can do that, they don't have to do the same, or, you know, that it's not okay to disrespect you? But the moment I started to change my life, and I'm not just saying losing weight, the moment I started respecting my own boundaries, my own mental health, and my own peace was the moment I started to see everybody else turn that light towards me too. And a lot of people say to me now, why do you work out? Why do you do what you do? Like, give me some of the motivation. It's not the physical side of it. It's the mental side of it. I need that to keep me happy. That's my form of repaying myself for all of the years that I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I say this to a lot of people. I was not allowed to work out for 8 weeks after my surgery in January. And it was hell. It was hell on earth, because that's my outlet. Well, work is my outlet and working out. So you're taking away from me being physical. You're also taking away my social side of things, right? So sitting in my house for 6 to 8 weeks, not necessarily by myself, but by myself.
Without your outlet.
Right. You start to realize how you take things for granted. I was taking my everyday movement for granted before my surgery. Oh, God, I really have to go to work right now. Like, I really have to get up at 4:30 tomorrow and go and work out. Where for 6 weeks, I sat in my living room and I cried, because that little bit of movement, I didn't realize how much it did for me.
Until you didn't have it.
Until I didn't have it. You know, and now every day when I wake up, I am 5 times more thankful and grateful for where I am right now, because if I didn't make the changes that I made, one, I may not be here, because I was eating myself to death. Like, the heart attack was on its way. There wasn't much more I could do. But not only that, you know, get a little emotional. To put yourself in a spot, in a position to not be able to live your life as a healthy young adult is sad. Is really, really sad. And now, being out of surgery, I literally, like, being able to blink my eyeballs or just move my hands, I'm so grateful for. You know, and every day when I step on my hot Pilates mat, I could get teary-eyed when I say it, because there are so many people out there who aren't able to move physically, and not because they don't want to, but because they can't. And I would never, ever want to be back in that position, whether it was something I was doing to myself or, you know, God forbid, getting sick or, you know, hurting yourself. But I've made the promise to myself, if there's one thing that I can do for the rest of my life, it will be to never put myself back in that unhealthy position, mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me of even my own similar situation, you know, several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Where it reminded me when you said, like, you took it for granted, right? You took the movement for granted, right? Yeah. And when I had my little, you know, AFib heart incident scare, yeah, you know, several weeks ago, it was the same thing for me. Like, now being on the other side of that, mm-hmm, and I said it in my episode, you know, episode 200, was, you know, I literally feel like I got a second chance at life. And it wasn't
got chills when you said that.
Yeah. It wasn't really until then. And it's unfortunate that a lot of times that all of us have to endure something like that. Thankfully, I'm on the other side of it,
right?
Alive.
Yep.
But some people might not have been.
Right.
But it's unfortunate that it takes instances like that in our lives, mm-hmm, for us to really take a step back and realize, like, what matters,
absolutely,
who matters, mm-hmm, and when you're doing things, how you're doing things, why and with who and when and where and why and how and all, yeah, all that in between, yeah, right? And it's kind of similar, you know, I can relate very much so now, mm-hmm, more than ever,
yep,
right? And this is so still very fresh to me, and, yep, and everything that I'm doing now on my new journey in, yep, life and business and career and all that. But same thing, it's like every day I'm literally just grateful just to be here.
Right.
Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. It's like, man, like most people wake up and the first thing like you're probably thinking about is, going to Starbucks and getting your regular whatever you get at Starbucks, right? Right. But, you know, for me, for a little while there, it's like, I'm just fucking glad I woke up again today. I know, I'm like laughing about it. I can laugh about it. It's serious, yeah, but like.
And some of you may think that like we sound a little crazy saying this,
yeah,
but unless
you go through it, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. And it's also unfortunate too. I think sometimes a lot of people around us, right? And mm-hmm, you know, I'm going to speak for you too. And I don't know if this is the same or not, but like a lot of times the people around us may not even realize how serious it is. Mm-hmm. Or that like, hey, like she or he is really going through some shit. And not that people downplay it, but they just don't get it.
No.
And most people never will. And right, I hope to God that nobody ever has to go through. I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy that anybody ever has to go through anything I've gone through or anything that you've gone through, right? But I mean, it sounds like crazy, but I'm also grateful for everything that I've been through though too, because it showed me where I really need to be.
Yeah, you know, I always say like just in the past few years, all of the shit that I've been through, I always say it's not wasted time. And it's nothing that I regret, because I'm a much better person right now than I was back then. And I wouldn't be who I am right now if it wasn't for all of the things that I've been through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'll say it, but I think it makes us very lucky people. Yeah, we went through some really shitty stuff, but we also are able to look at things in a different perspective in a different light. So young.
Yeah.
You know, like I always say, let's just talk about like our parents getting older, mm-hmm, right? When we can relate on the same with your mom and my aunt. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing these things in our young 20s, early 30s that people don't go through,
yeah,
with their parents, right, until they're in their 50s and their 60s,
right, until
and
they're older,
parents are 80, 90 years old,
right, when shit's supposed to start going, right, wrong, when shit's supposed
and
to
I would
happen.
Never want to be that person. Like, as shitty as it was to see everything and go through what I've been through in the last few years at such a young age, it's also made me
resilient as hell.
Oh my god, yeah. And it just, I look at everybody differently, I look at situations differently, I can maneuver life differently because of,
yeah,
these things.
Better, easier.
Oh my God, yeah. And I'm grateful, like, yeah, 110% grateful, because I look at some people and I'm like, oh, you have no
you
idea.
You have no freaking clue.
You have no clue the things that you're going to get hit with in the next few years, yeah, as we get older.
Yeah, or the people, like, not that I want to say, like, you know, maybe some people have had it easy. I don't want to say that, but just people that maybe haven't gone through really much of anything at all, whatever it is, right? And it's like, man, just wait until something hits you. And I don't mean that in a, like a bad or negative way, like I'm wishing anything bad,
right,
because I never would.
Right.
However.
But it's the inevitable. We all go through something at some point.
Right. And right, it's like, man, like, you know, to me, and I've said this, you know, not long ago too on some other episode, even before my heart incident, but I said at some point, like, all this stuff that keeps getting thrown at me, like, I feel like there's nothing really that could get worse.
No.
You know, it got worse. It actually did get worse.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. It got worse. It did, yeah, get worse. But it's also gotten better.
Absolutely.
And that's what's on the other side of it, you know, is the better.
Yeah.
And like, and same thing for me. Like, it was just like, you know, being on the other side now, it's like, I'm intentional about a lot more things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm maybe not just stressing or worrying about a lot of the things that maybe before I would stress or worry about. And it's just like, now that I look back at it, I'm like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
And you know, it's funny that you say that, because I look at people around me who are going through, I'm not trying to say that people's situations aren't as bad as they are, but seeing what some of us go through, right, to seeing what some of our friends and people around us are going through, I sometimes sit back and I'm like, if you only realized how small of an issue you're having right now and how much you're stressing
over
and
nothing,
worrying,
yeah,
over something you have zero fucking control over.
Yeah. Literally. That's the other thing too. Like I would always, I think up until like recently, I was always the one to just worry about like tomorrow. And it's like, you know what? After, you know, like after, again, after my heart incident, it was like, worry about tomorrow. Like, I'm just grateful I'm here today.
Yeah. I'm such a big, over the last few years, it is what it is. What's going to happen is going to happen. And what's going to be is what's going to be. My sister will always say to me, how do you live this way? How can you just be so nonchalant about things? Well, because I've wasted a lot of energy in the years prior to this worrying about things that I had no control over. And now that I have the option to pick and choose what I want to worry about versus what I should not be worrying about makes a huge difference in life.
Yeah.
And I learned all of that strictly just from going through my weight loss journey. You know, like that was all my decision. Nobody got me there. Nobody put me there. I got there. It was my bad decisions that did that. So moving forward, just being able to sit down and be like, okay, Linz, here you go. A or B, where are we going? We going down the shitty road or are we going to take the high road this time? And always, it's the easiest choice is the high road anymore. Not, you know, well, I guess I can say it's the hardest decision, but it's the easiest walk because taking the easy road never got me anywhere.
Yeah.
Never got me anywhere but down a ditch. And crawling my way back out of that ditch has been the hardest thing that I've ever done. Literally one of the hardest things.
Yeah, you know, it actually just this what you just said now too also just reminded me of something. Brian DiMattei, who mm-hmm. hosts the Food Fight podcast, yes. We were talking about him a couple minutes before we came on, but yep. Him and I recently he had an addiction, pill addiction,
yep.
And he's, you know, clean and sober. He's been for, you know, several years now, but him and I recently spoke at the Pain Addiction Summit at Wilkes University just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And I think it was like right before like we went on and, you know, him and I are just talking right before him and I were speaking at this event. And I said to him, I was like, are you nervous? And he goes, nervous? Pfft. He's like, this is easy. He goes, this is the easy part. He goes, everything that I've gone through with the addiction, the recovery, all that. He goes, that was the hard part. He goes, this is easy.
Yeah.
And like when you really take that and just put that in perspective and it's like,
yeah.
It wasn't until then that it clicked, and I now kind of adopted that same, you know, mindset, yeah. You know, thanks to Brian, is like, what's there to be nervous about? Like, look what you've gone through.
Right.
Like, look at all the shit that you've done, look at all the shit that you've gone through. Like, this is easy. Yeah. Like, the rest of this shit is easy now. Yeah. Like, that was the hard part.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
And I think a lot of us, I know a lot of us have a very big problem with giving ourselves credit.
Yeah.
Sure, Brian can say it. I'm sure you can say it.
All day long.
I know I can say it.
Yeah.
People are like, Linz, you've built a business. You've lost all this weight. Yeah, you're right. I don't think anything of it. Like, there are times where I sit back and I'm like, I don't do enough.
Yeah, right. I think it's just normal.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like doing, right, just like all the things that like you're saying. Like,
yeah.
And I know because I can 100% relate too. When I look at my life and everything, I'm just like, this is just normal to me. Like doing all these things, this is normal.
Right.
When people aren't doing that, I'm like, that's not normal.
Right.
Is what I think. Right. You know, and like when people are like I had somebody recently, and I posted it, I think on Facebook somewhere, this guy sent me a message and told me I'm superhuman. I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't look at myself that way.
Yeah.
But like, this is like in a good way. This is how people like perceive, I'll say like people like us. Cause I feel like we're essentially like the same person, yep. Right? Just living different journeys,
absolutely.
Right? Been through different shit, but, can very much relate to a lot of the stuff, like absolutely. Parallels. Right. But yeah, like I same thing. Like I just look at a lot of stuff that I've done and I guess I don't celebrate because I am also like moving so fast,
sure.
But I also, part of it's like an imposter syndrome and yeah. I just don't give myself credit, which I am giving myself a lot more credit nowadays than like yeah. I used to.
Sure.
And I'll say I've slowed down like just enough to like really be more present.
Yes.
But I'm not slowing down. Like I'm slowing down, but I'm not. If that makes any sense. I know that's a very contradictory.
We keep saying grateful.
Yeah.
But being grateful for every step of the way.
Yeah.
And you have to be at some point.
Right.
Right? Because if not, you're just moving with the motion of the ocean. And that's great and all. Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, at some point, Bill, we have to realize how fucking badass we are. Yeah. Like, no matter what we've been through versus what we're going to go through versus everything that we're doing in this present time and day. Mm-hmm. Like, there aren't many of us out there who have the drive and the resilience that we have. And I think it is. I think it's a little sad that we struggle with giving ourselves the credit that we deserve.
And we shouldn't feel bad for it either. No. That's the other thing. Because, like, you know, like, I almost fucking died. Like,
right.
You know, like, everything that I've been doing, like, again, I don't have, you know, you asked me before when you first got here, like, oh, did you get any results? Do you know what happened? I'm like, no, I'll probably never will. And everyone asks that. I'm like, right. No, I'm never going to know. Well, what do you think the cause was? Well, probably a lot of things, right? Sure. And I talked about it in my episode. But like, looking back on it, like, again, I don't really know. It's a combination of a lot. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, I had a lot going on in my life. And there was still even more that I didn't even talk about that just we didn't have time for. And maybe something that I just won't say, right? But, like, all of that just really kind of probably built up. Right. And all of it almost killed me.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Yep.
Like, all of it. And again, I'm not, like, I don't regret it. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause, like, you know, it's like looking back on it, like kind of like you said before, like, I almost, like, I had to go through it.
Absolutely.
Thankfully, mm-hmm. I survived.
Right.
Right. But now I'm more aware.
Yep.
You know, obviously I left my day job and I'm, like, fucking happier than ever that I'm not doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a whole new outlook on life.
Yeah.
Like top to bottom.
Yep.
Like,
and we are so lucky to be able to look at life like this at such a young age. And I don't care what anybody says, we're in our prime. Our 30s are our prime. These are the years that are going to change everything for us. And I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, I wouldn't change a fucking thing that I've been through in the past 3 to 5 years, because I wouldn't be where I am right now. And I feel as if...
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights.
A lot of times when people are in car accidents, kind of forget what we should do. First and foremost, call 911. Then, get out of your car before moving it and take pictures. It's so important to capture what the cars look like immediately following the accident. Finally, call your insurance carrier and make a claim.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interruptions and hello to lightning-fast connections. Loop Internet offers both residential and business fiber. Fast-track the future with their 10-gigabyte fiber and join the Loop Internet family today. Visit Loop Internet online at loopinternet.com or call 1-888-808-5667. Again, that's 1-888-808-5667 or visit them online at loopinternet.com. Loop Internet, where speed meets reliability. And now we're back on the Stacks.
Like, this is the person that I know I should be and that I've always meant to be, right? Especially in today's day and age, just where the world's going. To be able to process how things work and be able to just deal with the way the world is, I don't know if I'd be able to do that as well as I do right now if it wasn't for everything that I've been through.
No, really? No, me neither. Mm-hmm. Me neither. Mm-hmm. Like, man, it's just crazy when I really sit back and think, like, the last, like, 10 months for me have been the craziest 10 months of my life.
Yep.
Like, by far. I mean, like, and I said in an episode, but like, my life was turned upside down like multiple times.
Yeah.
Other people's lives around me were also turned upside down.
Right.
And like, I, you know, when I, whenever I tell somebody like some of these things, like this happened and this and this and this, they're like, you good? And I'm like, yeah. I think so. Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, hey, I have a great therapist.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, so shout out to her. Yeah. You know, and there's that, there's nothing to be ashamed of with that. And if it wasn't for that, you know, and you know, some close people around me, like, who the hell knows? Like, I could have gone down like a real bad path. Who knows?
I was almost there, Bill. You I know. Trust me.
Like,
and this too, like I said this in our last episode, we are the ones who have to keep this conversation going.
Yeah.
If we stop talking about the importance of mental health and therapy in our 30s, you think these younger kids are going to talk about it?
No.
No, their faces are so far into their phones and TikTok and this and that. They don't give a shit.
No.
They don't care. But in reality, they're the ones who are going to suffer, you know? And I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for my therapist.
Agreed.
And I love my friends and my family.
I've said that to her multiple times, by the way. And she knows. She's watching. She knows.
Yeah. And like, you know my best friend, Savina. She was on here. She's a therapist, you know? And I love her more than anything. But there is a complete difference about your friends and your family being support systems and then having that professional third party who knows absolutely nothing about your situation and who can look you dead in the face and say, this is the fucking problem.
Yeah. And or tell you when you're wrong.
Absolutely.
And hold you accountable for your shit.
Absolutely.
Because that's just as important.
Because if it wasn't for my therapist telling me that I'm the reason that I am the way that I am, I would have never have been able to continue on a journey.
Yeah.
It was her that made me realize, you know, when you have somebody putting it black and white in front of you, you can't walk away from it. Like, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I did this to myself.
Yeah. I remember at the end of 2023, like literally it was like the end of the year. And I was just kind of like, you know, mentally just recapping, hey, like, wow, like a lot of good shit happened this year. A lot of bad shit happened. A lot of this, a lot of that. Like I was just kind of reflecting. And then like one day I sent her something. I said, hey, like I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you. I said 2023 was the hardest year of my life.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you for helping get me through it.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Yep.
You know, and you know, looking back on now, not that, you know, 2024 is, you know, we're not that far into it, but like almost halfway, right?
Yep.
You know, not that 2024 got worse or harder, but it's just a different level. It's like it's just like a different level of hard.
Right.
Right. But again, just like looking back at that, and I remember like vividly telling her, like sending her a message and thanking her and saying 2023 was the hardest year of my life.
Yeah.
And like people don't realize that about me.
No.
You know, and like, you know, I'm very public, but I'm very private.
Right.
As I believe you to be as well. Like for as public as you are about certain things.
Yep.
You're also probably not sharing it like every day publicly. And neither am I. You know what I mean? It's just like it may be in certain instances like this that we share it, but I think it's important because these are the times that people listen.
Yeah.
Not that people don't listen like to every post here or there and stuff, but like just like you said, I think having, you know, being open and having these conversations. And for me, like I would have shared a lot of, you know, some of this stuff probably sooner if it wasn't for me leaving my day job.
Sure.
And like, you know, for anyone that's listening, you know, whether they listened to my episode or not, you know, a few weeks ago, for me, I felt like, because everybody kept always asking me for the longest time, like, when are you going to be a guest? When are we going to hear from you?
Right.
And I just kept telling everybody for the longest time, I'm just not ready yet.
Right.
And part of it might have been I wasn't ready to talk, but also part of it was because I couldn't talk because of me leaving the job. And I couldn't speak about that for legal reasons.
Right.
So, like, I was also, like, cooped up.
Yeah.
Lindsay, like, it was just, like, and I know you probably know, too, like, just that feeling of, like, not that I couldn't talk. I, you know, of course, I could talk to my wife or my mom or, you know, therapy and this and that. But, like, publicly, being week in and week out doing something like this, you know, for me, and not really being able to like insert myself fully into all these conversations. Like I really, really wanted to for all these you know, last couple years because my exit at my family business has been in the works for a long time now.
Yep.
And like I said, I couldn't speak about it until then. And like now it's like, whew, like the weight of the world is like off my shoulders. Yep. And I feel like I'm really contributing more to humanity. I know that sounds like kind of silly, but like.
Well, think about it. When you're stuck And not saying that your last job was toxic by any means, but when you're stuck in that place of not being able to be who you truly are and speak who you truly are, that becomes toxic within itself.
100%.
You are stuck in your own brain with your own vicious cycle of thoughts. And in reality, we don't realize, but that's where all of the self-sabotage starts.
That's where you go. That's where souls go to die.
Absolutely. And we are our own worst enemy. And yeah. In that situation, we are literally our own worst enemy, because when you can't, and you, like we say, you could talk to friends and family about things, but when you can't freely talk about something, and it could just be in random conversation, you know,
yeah.
Oh, well, what I'm going through is very relatable to what you're going through, but I can't speak about it. You become irritable. You become pissed off. You become angry.
Take it out. Yeah.
You start to hate your current position even more. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything in life is toxic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can really say that literally.
Yeah.
Too much of anything is toxic.
Yeah, right.
And too much of ourselves is toxic too, especially when we can't.
Being trapped in your own mind in an environment that you don't want to be in.
That is the definition of my own hell. Being trapped in my own mind is my own hell.
Yeah.
It's awful. And I would never want to be that person. And I'll be honest, I'll open up a little bit more about it now than I did our last episode, but I swear that that's part of the reason that I got to where I was with how much weight I put on. I was stuck in a toxic cycle. I was seeing somebody that I cared for, my aunt, struggle with being very sick with cancer. Toxic. I lived with her, took care of her, went home to it. But then I was also in a very toxic relationship too. And when you don't have an outlet, of course I had work, but at my salon, talking about what I was going through at home was never on the table.
Yeah, it's not really the place.
Because my biggest concern was always making everybody else feel happy and healthy and feel good in their own skin, because I fucking knew what it was like to not feel that way. I was the most unhappy person that you probably would have ever met, but you wouldn't have known.
No.
People said to me, oh my God, Lindsay, what do you mean you were going through all of this? You had a smile on your face every day when you walked in here.
Would never have known.
Well, because I'm fucking programmed. I had to have a smile on my face. I was owning and operating a business. I couldn't be miserable every day and tell everybody what I was going through. So then everybody
would be like, fuck that place. Yeah, that's a toxic ass place.
Yeah. And this girl is batshit crazy. Like, yeah. I'm no way.
Yeah.
But when I think about it, it made it much easier for my binge eating disorder to get to where it was, because there was no outlet. It was working, so I was completely exhausted. And then it was not that my aunt was toxic, but seeing somebody so sick and depressed and down is toxic, right? Mm-hmm. That's a toxic and depressing energy. But then to also be in a toxic environment, in a toxic relationship, that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So putting on 200 pounds was fucking easy for me. People are like, how? How'd you do it? I ate. Yeah. I ate all the time and I didn't stop. Yeah. I literally didn't until I couldn't almost walk.
Yeah.
Like that's
literally
toxic.
Immobile.
Yeah. Literally. And now I can see. And I don't know if you feel this way, but when I meet people, I can see if somebody's genuinely happy or if somebody's just fucking masking their life.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
I've been able to kind of, just because of my life and everything that I've been through and all, and yeah. I know you, obviously you can relate because you're saying the same thing, but like, I've been able to, I feel like, do that for a while now because like, you know, secretly I've been in my head saying like, I have X amount of more months to go until I'm out of there and I can talk about it. But like,
right.
I knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel for me.
Right.
Right. Like, but like some of these other people, you could just tell there's almost no light at the end of the tunnel, and you could see like how miserable some of these people are. And I guarantee you, if you look around at all your friends, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say like 75% or more of them are probably fucking miserable and hate their jobs, hate their lives, hate everything about it. Like at least 75%,
you know,
maybe more.
I can tell you that most people that I know, you can tell me till you're blue in the face that you're happy. I don't give a shit what car you drive, what kind of house you have. I don't care that you're married with the kids and the baby.
Yeah.
I don't care. Because when I look at you, that smile that goes from a full smile to a frown very quickly once we're done talking, I can see how toxic the environment is that you're kept in, just in yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure you agree. I think we live in a very toxic world in general. With social media, and I'm not a big social media girl. For having a business, my girls are always like, Lindsay, get on social media, start videotaping yourself, take pictures, tell people about you. That's not me. I was never that kind of person. But I can also see the people around me that are those types of people, how fucking toxic it is.
Yeah, and it's, a lot of it's fake.
Yeah, and you're comparing yourself to everybody and everything else. You know what? Shout out to all of the other salon owners in the beauty industry, in the spray tan industry, in the tanning industry in general. I love you guys. So much love. Do I care what you're doing? No. I don't give a shit what you're doing. Want to know why? Because I'm worried about myself. I'm worried about what is going to be best for me and my world and keeping me in the healthiest place mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I sat around and I compared myself to what everybody else is doing, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be where I am today. And I take a lot of pride in being that the business owner that can look at you and say, if you don't agree with me, there's the door. There's five other salons to go to. You don't think that what I'm doing is correct? Go somewhere else. At this point in my life, and I think it's because of everything that I've been through, it is much easier for me to let go of the toxicity than it is for me to hold on to it just for the clout or the fame or, you know, to have this client or that client. That shit doesn't matter to me anymore.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. And even bringing up TikTok, I don't know if you've seen this trend of, you know, the social media is fake. Here's a few things that I struggle with.
Mm.
If people only knew the things that we struggle with inside, outside of, you know, the social media.
Yeah.
Because if you look at my social media, you'd be like, wow.
Oh, she's fucking great. She's happy. She's living the great life.
She goes here. She goes there. She's got this. She's got that. But how about 3 out of 7 nights a week when I'm home crying hysterically because I don't feel like I'm good enough? Or I don't feel like I'm doing enough? Or I... Honestly, Bill, there's more times where I am stuck in a very unhappy mental place. And that this is one whole side of the mental health side of things. I struggle with self-confidence. When I look in the mirror, I don't see what people see. I don't see that I'm a hard worker. Like my mom says to me, Lindsay, oh my God, the things that you've done at your age. Ma, what the fuck have I done? Like, what do you mean? I don't understand. And people are probably like, oh my God. No, I really don't. I don't see all of the things that I've done. And this comes back to, it's maybe not just body dysmorphia. Maybe it's mental dysmorphia or right?
No, 100%.
I don't give myself the credit that I do. And Bill, I actually had somebody say this to me not too long ago. If you were able to look at your younger self, give me something that you would say to her. If I can literally look back at the young, sad, self-conscious girl, I would literally say to her, keep going. Keep going, because one day you're going to be so fucking proud of yourself, it's not even going to be funny. And I wouldn't be able to say that confidently right now if it wasn't for all of the hardship that I've been through, whether it was, you know, ending a 9-year relationship or taking care of my aunt until she passed, or just the small ins and outs of owning a small business at 21 years old. You know, that's all shaped me into being able to have that confidence to say, this is what it is, or this is what it's going to be, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't have that, which a lot more of us need in life. I see a lot of people that struggle with giving themselves the credit that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my good friends, she's a mom. She's got 2 babies. She got small business. And she's always like, I just can't catch up. I can't catch up. You know, it's always one thing or another. And if she only realized how badass of a person, and I say this to her all the time, like, you're amazing. Like, you're super mom. I would never in my life be able to do everything that you do. If she was just able to give herself the smallest piece of credit, I know how much it would make her feel better in her own mind. But goes to show, we don't see what other people see on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard when you're looking at yourself day in and day out.
Yeah.
Same with my weight loss. I mean, I see myself every day. It's not easy to see, you know, that I've lost all of this weight or the changes that have come about. But you see it.
Yeah.
Everybody else sees it because you don't see me every day.
Right. Right.
It's crazy.
It is.
It's really crazy. I think it's also one thing that opening my tanning salon, excuse me, and becoming a master certified spray tan artist, where I specialize in naturalism. And I also specialize in, I hate to say this word, but plus size women. I am a normal woman to myself. I, you know, no matter size, shape, gender, color, spray tanning and being in the industry that I'm in, it has shown me no matter what we are, who we are, where we come from, we all struggle with one thing, and it's self-confidence. None of us have it. Like, I have some of the most beautiful women that come into my salon and they're like, no, I don't want to look at myself. It's okay. I trust you. I know my spray tan's good. Bitch, if I had your body, I would be walking around this world like I was the cat's meow. And they don't think that they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And that breaks my heart because it truly goes to show we all suffer.
Yeah.
And it may not be the same thing that you suffer with, but we all have something that holds us back in the long run.
Yeah. And I think it also, like, I'm totally switching gears on it, but I want to kind of parlay this into like your job or your career. Cause I feel like, you know, like for me, for example, I never thought, not that I didn't think I had it in me to do what I'm doing.
Right.
But this type of medium mm-hmm. that I'm doing, like, this isn't like, I didn't go to school for this. Right. You know, nobody really taught me this.
Right.
Like, I figured it out by myself to get started. I had some help of, you know, somebody gave me some pointers here and there, and then some other people along the way came along and have definitely helped, right? Yep. But I think a lot of people are just stuck in their dead end, soul crushing jobs that they don't even take a step back and think to themselves, like, you know what? I am good enough, and right. I could go maybe do the thing I want to do.
Yep.
And everybody's like, well, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I just fucking do something.
Just jump. Just like, jump. Literally take the jump.
Yeah. Like, and I just posted it actually on social media today, like a reel, I think, of me saying, like, you know, OTS started by me sitting on a pallet of paper, taking a picture with one other person.
Yeah.
And now 5 years later, look where we're at.
Yep.
Like, whoever would have thought that one picture mm-hmm. would have turned into this.
Right.
Like, it's like you can't even, it's like, you can't even comprehend it, right? Because
right.
if you would have asked me then, like, Bill, where do you think this will be in 5 years? Well, I probably would have said we'd be doing something
sure.
bigger, and I'd be out on my own doing this. That's what right. I would have told you.
Yeah.
But I didn't. But I wouldn't be able to tell you, like, what we'd be doing.
Right.
I just knew we'd be somewhere
mm-hmm.
doing something.
Right.
Right. And I think, you know, there's just so many people that have it, that actually do have it in them,
mm-hmm.
but they just don't. They don't give themselves the credit. They don't allow themselves to, like, actually. I don't want to say take a risk, because I'm not saying just quit your job tomorrow. I am saying fuck your soul-crushing job, but don't quit it tomorrow.
Right.
You still need to be there. Look, I did it for 5 fucking years.
Yeah.
For 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point that literally I almost died.
Yep.
Okay, so don't do that, okay? Don't almost die.
Don't stress yourself out right, that much.
But do it, right? But don't die.
Right.
But, like, it's just give yourself that ability to just go try things.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
Like, I think you'd be surprised, like, never in a million years mm-hmm. did I ever think I'd be doing something like this.
You know, it's so funny that you say this because, and I haven't told many people this, but I'll never forget when I took the jump to open the tanning salon. And my sister was standing in my kitchen at my aunt's house, and she was overhearing my aunt and I speak about my business plan. And my sister looked at me and she said, "Are you dumb? What is wrong with you? A tanning salon? We are just coming out of a recession, Lindsay. You realize this is a luxury. People don't have this kind of money to pay for what you want to do." Because I always knew it wasn't just going to be some little rinky-dink shack in the back of some place. I wanted the kit and caboodle.
Yeah, you wanted it all.
I wanted
everything. You wanted what you wanted.
I wanted what the fuck I have now, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So I'll never forget her saying that to me. And not that my sister is my biggest support system, especially after I lost my aunt. You know, we've gotten very close and she's my biggest supporter. But back then, at 20 years old saying that I was going to open a luxury business, she wasn't so confident in me, right?
Yeah.
So my mom ended up coming to the salon a couple weeks ago and we were standing there. It was a Saturday morning, very early. Nobody was there yet. And I was walking up to the front of the building and I had just purchased, my second Cadillac, right? And at 29 years old, I'm sure there aren't many of us that can say like, hey, I went up, I didn't need somebody to co-sign, like I bought my Cadillac by myself, like, holy shit, right? And my mom looks at me at the salon and she goes, who would have thought? Like, who would have thought that you would be here right now? And I looked at her and I didn't mean to be the smart ass, but I am a smart ass. And I said, not you, because all of them looked at me and said, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You're insane. You're going to put yourself into all of this debt. You don't even know if it's going to work out.
But what if it does?
Oh, but it did, though.
Yeah.
But it did. 7 years later, yeah. It really fucking worked out. Yeah. Right. And if it wasn't for that jump, and I didn't know. You know, like, hey, I started off in a small space, 3 tanning beds, a spray tan booth, which are non-existent anymore. I didn't know if things were going to work out. And I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I really was.
Yeah. But and you have to be. And you have to be like in that, well, in that time. Like you absolutely. Have to be okay with like, you know what? This may not work out.
Yeah.
And like, and even for me, like I've been in this building almost coming up on 2 years.
Yep.
But for the first year-ish. That I owned this building, I couldn't even afford to fucking pay like rent.
Yeah.
As like a tenant. Like, and I'm the tenant, I own the building.
How about the first couple of years where I wasn't taking a paycheck.
Yeah, that too.
Nobody knows about that.
That too, right? Yeah. Yeah. I would assume people would assume that if I can't afford the rent, I can't afford to pay myself.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But like, you know, it's like when I bought this building, you know, everyone's like, not that everyone was like, what are you doing? Like, you're crazy. I think everybody, you know, maybe some people just didn't want to say that because they want to offend me.
Right.
Which is fine. I don't give a shit.
Right.
But like, say, it still don't bother me.
Right.
Because I knew that, like, I knew I could hold out long enough. I knew that even though I couldn't, that OTS couldn't afford to pay the rent, Bill Corcoran Jr.
Right.
Could.
Right.
Okay. So Bill Corcoran Jr. Mm-hmm. just paid the rent until he didn't have to anymore.
Right.
And I knew that one day I wouldn't have to pay it anymore.
Right.
And you know, sure as shit, now we pay market rent and... Mm-hmm. Bill Corcoran Jr. doesn't pay anymore.
But isn't it funny, though, because I look back now, right, and I see my friends who are in corporate positions, and sometimes you'll hear, well, I don't know, they're firing us or they're letting us go. Well, guess what? Your little corporate 9-to-5 with your promised benefits actually isn't fucking promised. They can let you go at any moment. The only thing that I have going for me right now is the security of knowing that nobody's fucking firing me, right? Yeah, my doors are going to stay open as long as I want them to. And I think that is the biggest thing that we can give to ourselves as entrepreneurs. Just that satisfaction of, you don't control my pay, you don't control me, and you sure as hell don't have a control over my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, Jesus, that's like one of the biggest benefits of being your own boss is having the freedom to come and go and do.
Oh, it's the nicest fucking thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My mom always says to me, you are screwed if you ever have to go and work for somebody again, because it'll never happen, which it won't
because you never will do that.
No. And guess what? It really didn't happen when it was happening. Yeah. I hated taking direction from other people, you know, not that I have any type of, you know, like defiant issue, but
I just
like to do things my way. And clearly my way works, right? Because the best glow in the 570 wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for the way I do things. Right. And confidently I can say that now, where I wouldn't have been able to say that a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's huge. And
I
always go back and I say this, and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. My business has made me the person I am today. It has given me the confidence to truly be who I am authentically. People know me for being honest, real, and blunt, and wanting the best for you. I'm not here to take your money. I'm not here to say that I'm the best. I am strictly here to do what makes me feel good. And in return, that makes everybody else feel good around me, you know?
Yeah.
And going back to my whole weight loss journey for a while, think about it, my first 2.5-3 years in business, I was super unheavy, or I was super unhealthy. I was extremely heavy. How the hell do you own a sun spa where you're supposed to be making everybody else feel confident and good in themselves when you're literally destroying yourself from the outside in?
Mm-hmm.
Where now, it doesn't even make sense.
Like, you reverse engineered it. Yeah. Now it's the opposite.
How is that? How did it even work out in the beginning? Like, because I know if I walked into somewhere and I saw somebody who was in an unhealthy position like I was,
you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if I told you this, but when I first opened, I had a woman ask me.
I think I remember.
Yeah. She asked me how I owned a tanning salon being a fat girl. Well, guess what? As much as it hurt me in the moment, she's right. How do you, not that having extra weight on you by any means defines you as a person, but how do you make others feel good about themselves if you don't feel good about yourself? You can't. You can authentically do it. You can lie to people, and that's what I did. I lied to people for a long time saying that I was happy. And I was the last thing, the furthest thing from happy, Bill.
But I think you knew deep down that you would eventually get there. I would argue to say that.
To be honest with you, I didn't have high expectations for myself years ago.
You didn't have any hope?
No, it was going to be a 9-to-5 job for me. It was going to be whatever made me happy in that moment, you know, because I never stuck to anything. It was constantly trying to find something new because I was never happy. Wasn't happy with myself. So how was I going to be happy doing what I was doing?
Yeah.
I knew I always wanted to own a tanning salon. But the way that things have played out in life, I wouldn't be where I am right now and be able to look at things the way that I look at things if it wasn't for what I've been through. And yeah. I wouldn't change it. I really wouldn't. I really, really wouldn't. And I think every single person since September of 2017 who has walked through my front doors, I thank you for always supporting me and allowing me to just be who I am. Whether you walk in, and my face shows it. Some days I have a huge smile on my face. There are other days where I look mad as hell, probably because I am. But I thank you for allowing me to be authentically who I am, because it's not right. It's not normal to have to mask that. I want to be able to have a bad day, but I also want my clients to be able to have a bad fucking day and come in and be like, fuck this place, what I'm doing. I hate everyone. Good girl. Yeah. Cause I do too.
Yeah.
Like let's talk do, about it. Yeah. 15 minutes of peace and quiet. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of people who say to me, I don't just come here because, you know, I want to be tan. I come here because of the environment, you know, being able to walk in here and be who I am and know that I'm not going to be judged. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, who wants...
It's not just a tanning salon.
No, it's a community. It's a place where people could be who the fuck they are and never have to apologize. Because if you're in this world and you're making people question who they are, you're a shitty person. And you're not somebody that I want to be around, literally, right. At all. Yeah. Like, I don't ever want to be around somebody who's going to make somebody feel less than who they are, no matter who you are, where you come from, what you're going through. And I always say, I don't care how much money you have, what your last name is. I don't care. If you're a good person, you're a good person. You're a shitty person. Fuck you. You're a shitty person. Yeah. Like, there's no changing that, right? Like, there's not. You can make better choices. But if you're genuinely just a shit person, stay where you are.
Yeah.
Don't come near me. Stay away.
Keep the toxicity out.
Yeah. And I think we need more of that in this life, especially with people our age.
Yes.
You know, like, if you have the energy to be mean to somebody and be rude to somebody, there is much more going on beneath the surface than just being an awful human.
Yeah. Trying to take other people down.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, why? And why are you wasting your energy on that?
For years, too. Like, I used to take it personally when people were mean or rude or would act out towards me. But after everything that I've been through, I can easily look at somebody and say, that is a you fucking problem.
Yeah.
There is something going on somewhere that you have an issue with, and it's sure as hell not me.
I love that.
It's not me. It's not how I look or what I say. I mean, yeah, you may envy me in some sort of way.
Yeah, it's because they see something in you that they wish they had.
Yeah, and you know what I get all the time? God, you know, Lindsay's a bitch. No, I'm not. I'm just blatantly honest with people. And if that makes me a bitch, then so be it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I would rather tell you the truth to your face.
And you hate me then.
Than for me to lie to you and you think that I'm the best human ever.
Yeah.
Because what does that make me? That makes me fake as fuck. And I don't ever want to be that. Like, ever in my life.
Yeah.
I went for how many years being fake to myself? I will not do it to anybody from here on out. I won't. And I genuinely love the person that I've become after everything that I've been through. And I don't apologize for any of it. The way I respond, the way that I act, who I am, where I am.
Unapologetic.
Yeah, and we have to be. Especially for how hard we work.
Yeah.
I never apologize for being who I am.
No.
The only thing I will apologize to myself for is all of the things that I didn't do that I could have done differently. That's the biggest thing. And nobody else deserves a sorry. Just myself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Fuck them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fuck everybody.
Fuck all of you.
No.
Except you guys watching.
We love all of you.
Keep listening and watching. Don't turn this off.
And I'm not saying that everybody should have the fuck it kind of attitude. But in reality, own it. Have it.
Yeah.
Why don't you feel that way?
Right.
Who cares what everybody thinks? Who cares?
Nobody wants to take a step back. That's the other thing. Like, everybody wants to do something like you or I are doing.
Right.
But they don't want to put in the work. And they don't want to almost kill themselves or, you know, like, literally you and I almost killed ourselves, right?
Yep.
We can laugh about this because we did it, right?
Yep.
But, like, I feel like there's so many people that I get messages all the time, like, how do you do it? What, where do I go? Where do I start? What do I do? And I'm always like, just fucking start something.
Yeah.
Like, what do you like? Just,
right.
Okay, that, start, just start doing something. I don't care what it is. Just
right.
Perform an activity
yep.
around that, whatever
Absolutely.
That is. I'm not even going to give an example. But just start doing something because you don't know where it's going to lead.
No.
And it's like, it's going to evolve. But again, like, a lot of people just don't have, I don't want to say they don't have what it takes altogether.
Right.
But
some people don't.
But some people don't. Some people don't, right?
Right.
Everybody has a different risk tolerance.
That's right.
Right? But at the same time, man, like, you're going to go through the rest of your life working your dead-end job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you make good money.
Right.
Maybe you don't.
Sure.
But you're going to go through the rest of your life working a job you hate around people that you don't like.
Right.
Just to please all the other people around you.
Yeah.
For what?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
And let me ask you something. Does any of the money make any difference at the end of the day?
No.
I don't care.
Not when you're not happy.
Nope. Not at all. I would rather be in a box making nothing.
Yeah.
And be happy.
I've said it a million times. I'd rather, like, if this, I'll be homeless sleeping on the sidewalk before I ever go work for somebody else.
110%.
Literally, I will be homeless.
Yeah, I'll be knocking.
I won't be homeless because
knocking on Larry's door. Lorenzo, hello. I need a job.
No, yeah, but like, seriously, like I've said it all the time. Like, I'll just do whatever. Like I'll sooner be broke and homeless than be miserable and have all the money and for what? Be miserable. So then what? When come retirement, you look back and be like, what did I do it for?
Right.
For what?
If
for
your
what?
Company even makes it there.
Right.
I worked for Corning Life Sciences for a couple of years in between being in the hair industry and figuring out that I wanted to own my own business, right? And this is a glass company that makes testing tubes and scientific tubing for cancer patients, cancer testing, all of this stuff, right? Not a corporate job that you think would just be non-existent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that are local that have been with that company for many, many years while I was working there. And 2 years ago, they shut their doors on all of those people who were there for years on end. So either way, I mean, yeah, you may have a security when it comes to your
think
job.
You think you do.
Now what? When you've been with somebody for 30 years.
Yeah.
Now where the fuck do you go?
Yeah.
You know? Like.
Yeah, it's like, well, guess what? Now you got to start over.
Yeah.
You got to start over because guess what? Like trying to then, you know, if depending on how far along you are in your career, like people are hiring, like number one, you probably have a big salary.
Yeah.
People aren't going to want to hire somebody with a big salary.
Right.
Depending on your age, again, they can't not hire you because of your age, but it happens.
Right.
Right. It happens because of age, salary,
They're
all that.
Usually
but like,
going to pick somebody younger that they can pay less.
Yep. And just train them. And then that cycle happens 20 years down the road again.
And I don't know if you can say this, but I know my mom has said it being in the medical industry. you know, it's very tough to take different positions and moving throughout the hospitals and whatnot when she has all of this schooling behind her, all of these years, to people that have quarter of that. And they're going to pay them half of what they're paying my mom. I mean, it's kind of, how can you not? You know what I mean? Like, you get it, but you don't get it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be us at our age having to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, having 100%. to make our own way, because that it's may the only be the way. Only option.
It is. Well, at least for me, it is.
Well,
like,
yeah.
It literally is. And I really do believe that, like, everybody does have something, like, deep down inside of them.
Yeah.
It's just you haven't brought it out yet.
Yeah, and a lot, like, of people haven't found what they truly love.
Right.
When you do what you love.
Yeah, and
there's no going back.
Yeah.
You can make all the money in the world.
I know I'm, like, a broken record saying this, but, like, even if, like, even, like, you know what you love to do, right? And you always think, oh, like, I can't, like, monetize that or make that into a business. Well, spoiler alert, you can.
Absolutely.
Right? But just, like, just do that thing and see what it evolves to. Just, yeah. It's going to evolve.
Yeah.
And it'll happen over time. It's just people lack patience. People lack patience and the ability to step back, because everybody says, oh, well, I got the job. I got the good job with the salary and the benefits.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how long are you going to stay that for?
And another hard part, too, is I'm sure that you can agree, is that everybody wants to start where we're at.
You're right. Like, that's lack of patience.
Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
I know people look at me at my salon and they're like, wow, 30 years old, doing real good for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, how about all of the years prior to this where I missed out on birthdays and holidays and family events and important things in life because I was here? People don't realize the blood, sweat, and tears that we truly put into this.
Yeah.
You know, but they want the salary that we have.
Right.
They want the freedom that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, sure.
But they don't want to do the work.
7 years ago, I wanted that too, but I busted balls to get where I'm at.
Right.
You know, and I'm still busting my balls, because that's one thing about small business. You never don't do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something.
Yes.
You know? And you can say this for sure. When we go home, we don't just sit on the couch.
Over.
We don't twiddle our thumbs.
We might be sitting on the couch, but you got the laptop.
I got the laptop. I got the iPad. I got my cell phone here. And then all of my paperwork to the other side of me.
Right.
So let's
it's
talk
all the,
about
it's all the
all
other
it.
Shit that you don't want to do, but you still got to go do it anyway.
You have to, though.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a marketing department or a shipping department.
Yeah.
No, I'm marketing. No, I'm calling. I'm picking up the phone. I'm scheduling. I'm cleaning. All of it. Me.
Yeah.
Me. So this time, it should be about me.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But seriously, we work really, really hard to be where we are. And that goes back to maybe people, they have the drive, but they don't have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen overnight.
No.
It never does. Good things don't happen overnight.
No.
Good things take time.
Take a lot of time.
A lot of time and a lot of patience.
A lot of time.
And a lot of fuck ups. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I made a super big mistake.
Yeah.
Where can I go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's been easier because I had to look myself in the mirror and say, you did this to yourself, Lindsay. Like, where are we going to go from here?
Accountability
at its finest.
Yeah. So speaking of accountability and or just like what's next for you?
There's so much. I have so much up my sleeve. Yeah, I have so much up my sleeve. The best goal in the 570 isn't going anywhere. If anything, we're going to get bigger and better from here on out.
I've gotten really good at saying abbronzatura.
Abbronzatura, yep.
I was practicing again. Like, I remember the very first time you came in, because we didn't even know each other then, by the way, you know, in that episode. Like, we literally spoke maybe just through Messenger or something. Maybe we spoke on the phone. I don't know. But we literally didn't know each other at all. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we just knew of each other. But that's it. Never met, never spoke. But I remember I don't even know how I spelled it out, but I spelled out abbronzatura, like butchered it, but I spelled it. Is it phonetically? Is that the right word? Right. So I spelled it so like I would know how to say it the right way. And it's like, I think I said it so many times in my head last time that I'm like a pro at it now.
Yeah.
So
there's so many things. Getting into the health and fitness and wellness side of things has slowly been coming about. You know, my salon offers red light therapy. I have Vibra Nano boards, which are wellness vibration plates. I have a couple of really big surprises coming for the end of this year after my busy season. I'm just looking to spread the best glow in the 570 everywhere with positivity and just making people feel good about themselves. So there really isn't any limit. It's just, what can we do?
Hell yeah.
And we're gonna do it. We're gonna do the damn thing like we have been.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you? Anything new?
Well, going to Africa.
Yep, I know that.
We know that. Yeah, that's new. It's big. I mean, yeah,
that's new-ish, actually.
Yeah, it's new-ish. Doing this.
Love it.
Just this.
Love it.
You know, it's kind of surreal to finally be able to like say like, I'm doing this.
Yep.
I no longer have to say a day job.
Right.
Like, I don't even call it a job. Mm-hmm. I don't even call this a job.
Because when we do what we love, it's not a job.
Yeah.
People say, Lindsay, how are you at the salon 14 hours a day, 6 days a week? It's my home.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's just, exactly.
What do you mean? Like, I don't hate this place. I love this place, actually. Yeah. Like, this mm-hmm. is where I want to be.
Yeah.
This is what makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And Bill, we're very blessed. We're very blessed to be able to do mm-hmm. what makes us happy day in and day out.
Yeah.
And I hope and I pray that everybody out there gets to feel what we feel.
Agreed.
Whether it's 5 years down the road, 5 days, 5 months, whatever the case may be,
mm-hmm.
do it.
Absolutely.
Take the jump. Do it. If it doesn't work out,
do something
else.
It's
fine.
Yeah.
Do it.
Then do something else.
Just go do it.
Yeah.
It's not as hard as we make it look. Well, it's hard.
It's
but
hard.
It's not as hard as we make it look.
Yes. It's hard, but it's doable.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And it's so rewarding.
Yeah. And I think I'll end it with this, and because you said it, and you said it a couple times, I think, and I want to repeat it again because I think it's so important.
Yeah.
Like you said about just people like us just continuing to have these conversations.
Yep.
About mental health, just about everything.
Yeah.
Because everybody just wants to hide behind their phone, social media, Netflix, this, that, the other thing. And it's like, there's not a lot of people that really can sit down and look each other eye to eye and have these types of conversations.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say like that this is partly what we built here, you know, and I'm grateful for people like you mm-hmm. that come on the show and are willing to be as vulnerable as you are.
Yep.
To, you know, just put this out there because there's not enough people talking about all of this stuff. And I'm just literally grateful to be here.
Yeah, you and me both. That makes two of us. And honestly, if there's one thing that I can say to everybody out there, take accountability for your mental health. Do what's right. It's really hard, but it's for the best. And you will never feel better about yourself and your place and where you're at and what you're doing. And I think a lot of people say, oh, the valley, it's such a bad place. It's not. It's a very toxic place because nobody wants to get down to what is actually going on. So
it all starts within.
Absolutely. So let's just keep this conversation of the importance of mental health and being badass and unapologetically ourselves.
Yeah.
And continue to walk into the rest of what life's going to throw at us.
And I'm looking forward to seeing more of your journey.
Yeah, you too.
Bro. I'm invested in it. I mean, I literally am. Like, I'm invested in everybody, not just you, just like anybody that's ever come on this show. Like, it's
we become family. We literally learn about each other.
Really,
you know how
seriously.
Can you not want to keep up with people at this point? You know,
yeah. And it's and sorry to anyone else, but like these are the only people that I really now care to keep up with.
Absolutely.
You know, people that have been on the show,
sure.
fans of the show,
yep.
people that write to me all the time, email, text, DM, whatever. I don't care. Listen, message me anytime. I pretty much get back to everybody.
They're the people
all
that
the time.
Give us the spark, the
exactly.
people that keep us going.
Exactly.
And I say the same about my clients.
Yep.
You may not even come into TAN. Come in, say hi, hello, how are you? And that's what gives me the go.
Exactly.
That makes me want to do what I do
100%,
every day.
100%.
I love it.
Hell yeah.
Well, thank you for having me on again.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
This was so much fun.
All right. On the Stacks, Lindsay Timmick, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.